13 and 14, and I will come back probably maybe tonight, look at some of the first part of the deal, but it's two verses that God used to change my life. Not that I, not what I'd like to be, but God really did use these. In fact, Bill Gothard wrote a book, complete book, called Men's Manual, number one, on verse 13 and verse 14, and we have that over here in the library. It would be do any man well to spend a lot of time in that book, Men's Manual number one. But that entire book is based off of verses 13 and verse 14. And if you will look at verse number 14, it says, let all your things be done with charity. And we've been preached on charity. Now, last week we talked about that charity covers a multitude of sin. God says here in this verse, everything you do, let it be done with charity. That means whatever you're doing, let it be done with long-suffering, with kindness, not vaunting yourself up, not envying other people, and so forth, and on down the line. Everything. But we're going to preach, and as the Lord would lead, I'm going to preach on two words today in verse number 13, where it says, watch ye. But we'll read both of them. So watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all things be done with charity. There's five things God tells believers. Paul is finishing up the book of Corinthians here, and he is giving these people some very stern warning, and it just kind of pops right in the middle of this kind of a end of the chapter deal where he's talking about all these different people. My daughter had a couple of dogs, and those dogs had a hard time staying home. They got started over at our place, and they liked Karen's cooking or something. I don't know what it was, but she would take them home and they would come over to our place. And then she would take them back home and they'd show back up at our place. How many has ever had dogs like that? Anyway, the littlest dog, the female dog, one morning she woke up and it was laying nearly dead out in the yard. And that dog had evidently got hit by coyotes. And I don't know how many of you are familiar with coyotes, but coyotes are mean, they're tough, and they're ruthless, and they're heartless. They are truly a wild animal. They had torn the collar off that dog's neck, slashed her neck down, ripped her up, and basically we thought probably dead. She made it. You know, the sorry dogs always make it. The good dogs never do. But anyway, she made it. But I want to say this to you. Probably, and I don't know where, and we're not certain about it because we weren't there, but probably cutting through the woods and the fields from where she lives over to our place, probably a pack of coyotes got a hold of her. And she barely, now listen to me, she barely escaped there with her life. Drug herself in and laying there in the yard, almost dead. You live in a sin-cursed world. I never did enjoy watching these videos of lions killing little fawns and bears killing little elk. And I don't get any joy out of that. Some people really get their kicks watching some predator, you know, catch and chew up and devour while they're still living a small animal. I don't get any kick out of that. And the reason I don't is because it reminds me of the fact that I live in a sin-cursed, fallen, evil-filled world. Now, I'm going to preach on something today that Paul is telling this congregation, and I'm your pastor, and I have a family of my own. Paul said to these Corinthian believers at the end of this book, he said, watch ye. Why? Why does God want you to be alert? I want to preach this morning on spiritual alertness to the influences and powers that be that want to destroy and devour you and your home and your family and everything about you. We live in a sin cursed, and you kids listen up. You're not living in fairyland. You don't live in some artificial world that you've watched on TV or some movie you've watched. You live in a sin-cursed, fallen world that is filled with death, disease, vileness, meanness, wickedness. If you don't think I'm telling you the truth, some of you girls try walking through East St. Louis tonight about 1 o'clock in the morning and see what happens to you. It'll be worse than wolves got a hold of you. That's the kind of world you really live in. And I don't want you, just because you grew up out here in the country, to be stupid and naive. There are evil forces that will eat you up so fast, make your head swim, and have no pity on you. We live in a predatory world. I don't know all about the change that occurred when Adam and Eve sinned, but I just know this, that beasts begin to devour each other, and the first two brothers, one of them killed each other. And it's been nothing but sorrow and tears and death and so forth since then. Now, you're here this morning, and by the way, if you're listening, you're here today, and you're not saved, you're not born again, let me tell you what's going on, really going on behind the scenes of your life. There is a predator named Satan who intends to take you to hell, and he's not playing a game about it. It's not funny. And he will just keep you deceived and floating around and make you think it doesn't matter that much, and well, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he knows that this book is true. And he knows that without Jesus Christ, if you don't repent of your sin and believe and receive Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for your sin, believe on him, you'll bust hell wide open and be there forever. And he'll laugh in your face when he gets you there. Amen. He's a predator. He'll have no more mercy on you than a lion does a fawn. No more mercy on you than a coyote has on a little baby speckled fawn that he finds in the grass of the field. He'll eat your guts and shed your blood and laugh about it. What a good supper you were. And you think, well, I'm telling you something. That's the way it is. People are busting hell wide open while you're sitting in here dying without Jesus Christ. Satan is a predator. And it's not just a sin-fallen world in the physical realm, but much more so in the spiritual realm. Satan is the ultimate predator. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief," speaking of Satan, "cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And one of the worst mistakes any of you, parent or young person or child, can make is to come to church Sunday after Sunday and just think that you can just beep bop along through life and that you cannot be alert and not get predatored by Satan. He will steal everything precious to you, from your marriage to your children, to your parents, to your skills, abilities, purity, everything. He'll come and just rip your guts out. And it's not funny. And you'll think life's just a little basket of roses till he's got your guts ripped out and ruined your life. And then you'll realize this isn't some little game. He said he comes to steal and he comes to kill. I mean, I could take you on a journey. I was thinking, driving down the road this morning to Springfield, how many kids in Wright County I know of? Douglas County and Texas County. I'm talking about teenagers and young adults who are in hell today because they played with Satan's drugs and played with Satan's liquor and played with Satan's immorality, and he predatored them and he destroyed them. And I'm telling you something this morning, those people that died without Christ, they're not laughing. They're not. Their whole attitude is totally contrary to what yours may be today. Primarily, I'm speaking to lost people. You're one single heartbeat away from hell. Secondarily, I'm preaching to Christian people who are just piddling around with your life and you're playing cop and scotch. You got one foot in the church and you got one foot in the world. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find an alligator come up and grab that leg you got in the world and going to pull you someplace you don't ever want to be. Amen. Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Did you get that? Did you understand who's after you and what he's out to do? Did you know there's people that read their Bible a lot more than you do and pray a lot more than you do and were more faithful in church than you are that are not in church today and their families are blown apart, their life has been ruined because they were predatored by the devil? I didn't say they were lost. I'm telling you something. He'll kill and destroy the life. Jesus, watch the last half of this verse. Jesus said he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. Now, I don't know about you, but I like living. Amen. And God is a God of life. And I like to live. But in order for you to live, you're going to have to stay away from the predator. Have you ever watched a squirrel piddling around? That squirrel, he's just, oh, his tail's up and he's just scurrying like this. And I never will forget one time I was watching a squirrel out in the yard. And he's grabbing a nut, run back, grabbing a nut, run back. And he'd run over here and play, run over there and play. And the dog was laying over there. And that dog wouldn't move. And I thought, so what a picture of Satan and a foolish person. That squirrel got to where he thought that dog just sleep over. You know what that dog was waiting? for the second that squirrel got too far from the tree. And when he did, boom! That dog shot out of there, got himself between that squirrel and the tree, and is over. And that's how Satan works you. He kind of makes you feel like, you can go out here and piddle and sin, and you can do this and you can do that and grab this pleasure and that pleasure, and you can do that, and you can kind of just drift away from your family, drift away from God, drift away from the Bible, drift away from your faith. There'll be no problem. And all of a sudden you're going to be out there with your stinking dope and your stinking liquor and your stinking immorality and all the crap that Satan's throwing you, making you, deceiving you with. And all of a sudden, boom, he's going to be between you and that tree. And you think, I'm telling you, it's all around you. There are people being devoured everywhere. It's not a game. Now, I'm going to tell you something. People don't walk in this church, don't listen to broadcast. Not much I can do for them. But I can do something for you here today. I hope by the power of God that the Holy Spirit will move your heart in this service today. This service is not about me. But I want to tell you something. I'm sick. I'm 65 years old. I'm sick of seeing homes, families, marriages, children, young people slaughtered like hogs by the devil, their life ruined and ravaged. I'm sick of it. And I'm not going to stand by without warning you. And a real man of God will warn you. The only reason Satan comes is to steal your life, to kill you, to destroy you in hell. As I said, you live in a predatory world. We're not in heaven yet, but we're going to be one of these days, bless God Almighty. And you better learn early. You better learn early that this is a dangerous world to live in. Dangerous world to live in. Some of you young people, you're going out there and piddle around. You've never been saved. You just learn how to do it all. As quick as you get out of church, the first chance you get, you're over here piddling with somebody that's drinking, piddling with somebody drugging, piddling with somebody that's got a hateful attitude and rebellious attitude toward God. And you think you can play with that and it not get you? You're ignorant of pet coon. That's right. You're dumber than a box of rocks, and I'm glad to tell you so. And I'm going to tell you what you better do. You better learn early, and you better never forget it, and you better wake up, and you better watch. Paul told the Corinthian believers, watch ye. Jesus took it further and said, watch ye. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Why? Because Satan would steal and kill and destroy the possibility of the latter part of that verse, that you would have life and have life more abundantly. One of the answers to this is being alert and acting on spiritual danger. And I want to tell you three ways today to watch out for alertness to spiritual danger. Deer interest me. Deer do not have claws. They have hooves. They don't have viper, teeth. But they have big ears. Rabbits have pretty big ears. Deer can smell really, really good. I was told last week that a bear in the mountains, a grizzly bear, can smell up to 20 miles away. 20 mile away. Smell blood 20, 25 mile away. You don't want to get injured in the mountains. Rabbits, squirrels, countless other animals, they have to maintain constant contact. You know how a buck ever gets to a 10 pointer? Do you folks need a seat? Do you need a seat? Listen, you right up here, some seat. I don't want you to have stand the whole service. That would bother me all the time. I would feel so bad. I mean, you don't want to have to sit, but if you didn't find a seat, I sure want you to know, go and tell some, scoot, hit somebody with the elbow and tell them to scoot over. Amen. And if you have to, we'll make room. Amen. We got room at the table. There you go. And that made me feel bad. Amen. God bless you folks for coming too. They're all the way from Summersville. Amen. Is that right? That's pretty good country over there. Amen. The liberals ain't got it yet, do they? They'd like to, but they don't have it yet. But, how does a 10-point buck ever get to be a 10-pointer? By watching. He's alert. Now, listen, I've been a little bit rough to start with him, but I want everybody to know in his church, yes, I love you. I don't want Satan getting you. And in order for him not to get you, you're going to have to stay alert. You're going to have to keep watching all the time. A couple of years ago, got it in my head that I wanted to crossbow hunt. I put me up a stand and so forth, fixed the whole place all up, Finally, one evening, I thought, I got home about 3 o'clock. I thought, I'm going to finally go take this thing out. All I'd done was practice fired it up there at the shop. And I got up in that stand. I was sitting there, you know. And I'm just honest with you. I can't, you know, I'm trying to look all the time, watch all the time. But one time I just kind of looked down, and I just kind of looked up like this. And I'm not kidding you. From me to Tommy was staring, a 9-point buck staring right at me. Now, do you hear what I said? He was staring right at me. And I was up in a tree. Probably 16 foot up in a tree. Staring right at me. My first thought was, where did you come from? How did you get there without me knowing you were there? Can anybody tell me how he got there without me knowing he was there? Quiet. Taking his time. Being very careful. Now, here's what I want to tell you. That buck, I was in his territory. And I knew it. Just to be honest with you, I'd been watching him through binoculars. I knew he was in there. My game was, how do I get him close enough for a crossbow? And I thought to myself, how on earth did he see me up here in this tree? I thought, well, this deal's blowed because I know a buck well enough. They can stand there for 45 minutes. And I can't. And I'm finally going to breathe or move or do something stupid. And when I do, he's gone. And but I just sat there as quiet as I could and just watched him. And you know, after about 2 minutes, he kind of lowered his rack like that. And there was something happened that buck that caused him to die. He lost his alertness. And I'm going to tell you what caused him to lose his alertness. Food. Something for his physical belly. And he lowered his head, and then he's turned and he walked straight diagonally away from me like this. And I thought, well, he's going to go on out of sight. But I knew where he normally went. And he got over to the fence and he stood, and boy, he just looked up toward my house and looked and watched. And I thought, man, he'll never come close enough. But I'm telling you, now you listen to what I learned from that. He knew, but it didn't weigh heavy enough on him. That sucker knew I was there. But he threw that warning off. He got up, he walked up that fence, turned around, and made a diagonal straight across in front of me at about from here to Matt Jones. And when he went between two trees, I was already there. When he walked between those two trees, I pulled the trigger, hit him right through here, went clear through him. He ran about an eighth of a mile and fell over dead. And you know why I got him? Because he wasn't watching. He was watching, but he wasn't paying attention to what he was seeing. Here's what I knew about that buck. He knew something was not right, but his desire for what he wanted overrode the cautions in him. That's what will get some of you. You know it's going to get you. But what you want will take you beyond your warnings. You see, it's not enough just to watch and to see. You must act on what the warnings are telling you. It is literally that we're to be alert and to act upon it. You must act to the feedback that God gives you of alertness. Sometimes alertness, the action that follows alertness, must be a fight. You ever seen a turkey fight? A turkey can fight like you can't believe. Turkey is one of the most alert animals there is in the woods. I am not that good a hunter. I have to have somebody call them in. I can't get it done. That turkey is not stupid. They say, oh, that stupid turkey. He ain't so stupid. Let me tell you about 10-point bucks and turkey gobblers. You boys listening and you girls listening, you know when they get killed? Does anybody know when they get killed? Jeremy, tell me. When they're looking for a female. A 10-point buck that you cannot even find the rest of the year, who'll let you walk right. I've walked right by bucks within 10 to 15 feet in blackberry patches. They'll hang tight. But they turn stupid when does are in season. A 10-point buck that wouldn't have even let you look at him will come trotting right out in the field. Where's she at? Where's she at? Boom! Some of you boys, you're going to get your life run. Where's she at? Old turkey gobbler that wouldn't let you get within a half mile of him. Tuk, 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 tuk. That sounds like a hen. And then he'll do the gobble, gobble, gobble. Oh, there's another gobbler who knows where she's at. I ain't gonna let him have her. And that stupid turkey, that stupid gobbler who wouldn't let you get within a half a mile of him, yep, will walk out in the middle of the bottom field. How many's ever seen a turkey gobbler go around a fake hen? That's the ultimate. There's a stupid hen there's going, has been stuck in the ground. She ain't blinking at him. She ain't going, hey, pretty boy. She's just stupid standing there. I've seen him walk up and go, and you know what he says? I ain't impressed her yet. Can I tell you, if there's ever a picture of how the devil works on you, right there it is. And he's going to blow your brains out. Sometimes you need to fight. Turkeys will fight if they get a chance. And sometimes you need to flee. Paul told Timothy this in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, there's a time to fight. Sometimes you've got to fight the predator. I tell you what, I love to see a doe fight a coyote. You ever seen a doe fight a coyote? I'm going to tell you what, you think they can't beat you? Deer hooves can get vicious. And I'm telling you, if you ain't ever seen a doe get up on her back feet and I'm being go after a coyote, it's funny. I'm telling you what, now they get mean. I'm telling you what, how many is there? I love that old John Deere ad. Remember the old John Deere ad where it shows it's talking about its protection plan for their equipment. And they got this mama grizzly. Great. Big old thing. And right down in here is this little bitty grizzly cub. And it says, our protection plan. How many wants to go after that little grizzly cub? Boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. No, Mama Bear's saying, you ain't touching him. I've got him covered. Everything's good. And she'll kill you for him. Can I tell you the truth? I'd rather fight a man in this church than a woman who's trying to protect her baby. That woman will kill you. You threaten her baby, she'll kill you. That man, he'll just whoop you and walk off. That woman, she gets you down, she'll shoot you. Because you came after her baby. God put that protective instinct in, and most men would too, but I'm just saying, women, they come unglued. They'll lose themselves. And I am telling you, there's sometimes you need to run. Joseph fled. There's sometimes you need to fight. Now, there's another thing. Sometimes you just need to be still. Here comes old Wiley Coyote. He's hungry. He ain't had breakfast. He's been watching that doe out there. And he knows what time of year it is. She's got a fawn out there in the grass somewhere. So he waits for her to go off feeding and he trots around and he feeds. But you know what will save that little fawn? Does anybody know what will save that fawn? Being still. And one of the first things that a mama doe will do with a fawn is teach it to absolutely do not move until I come and get you. But oh, we got a lot of fawns in our families who see a butterfly go by. I think I'll chase the butterflies of life. And the little fawn all of a sudden stands up with his little speckles in the grass. And there he's looking in the eyeballs of a coyote. Boom! It's over. Let me tell you, kid, something. One of the smartest things you'll ever learn is be still till God works through authorities to tell you to move. You think, well, I'll chase that butterfly of my dreams. I'll chase that butterfly that I want to accomplish and do. And I'll chase that butterfly of pleasure and fun. And, oh, I'll have a good time. No, I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get ate up by a coyote. That's what's going to happen to you. A wolf's going to devour you. Some of you think, well, hey, there's a guy in the news recently named Jeffrey Epstein, worth $18 million. And he chased every butterfly that the devil could possibly put up in front of him to chase. And you know where he wound up at? In federal pen. And you know what he did the other day? He put a sheet around his neck and hung himself in there. You want to know why? Well, surely he got enough money to hire a good lawyer and get him off. And I mean, he knows all the presidents and he knows everybody. I mean, surely he can. No, let me just tell you why. Because he knew he was in the mouth of the wolf. Are you listening to me? We took the kids of this school one time, the state pen in Jeff City. And the lady that took us on the tour, she was standing by me on the hillside. They wouldn't, of course, didn't want inside, but she took us up there and showed us where this. And I just kind of casually turned to her and I said, is there much problem with sexual predatory and all kinds of things like that? She said, Reggie, you would not believe. You know what she told me, Josh? She said, Reggie, do everything you can down there in southern Missouri to keep any white boy from ever coming here. Because she said, most of them are naive, got themselves in trouble, really wasn't planning on it, never dreamed they'd wind up at the pen. She said, they'll usually be sold for sexual slaves 2 to 3 times for packs of cigarettes before they ever get here. And she said, let me tell you something, their first night in prison is not fun. You say, Reggie, you shouldn't talk like that. If it'll keep you out of prison, I'll tell you again. Do you know what Jeffrey Epstein knew? He's a child molester. Can I tell you who gets killed in prisons fast and quick? Child molesters, after they're done with them. You go to prison, a child molester, they'll kill you so fast, make your head swim. You are dead before you're a dead man walking. You know why? Because there's some daddies in prison. And they got kids outside the prison that back home. And they have nightmares about somebody predatizing their children. Life's not funny. We live in a sick, cruel, mean, wicked, vile, predatory world. Are you listening to me? Can I tell you girls something? That the majority of the guys that give you that sweet look don't give a rip about you except your body. They could care less about you. And if they wreck and ruin your life and throw you in a ditch, they'll go around bragging about it. And you better wake up! Wake up! Watch ye! Be alert! Or you'll get predatored! And it's not funny. You know what? I get tickled. He's a preacher. He's just no preacher. He's a Bible banger. Oh, really? We'll see who's standing at the day of judgment. You ain't playing with God. You have to train yourself and your children to be alert to physical danger. Karen and I kept our grandchildren this week, and I was just talking to them. And I said, kids, there's something I want you to know. You know what they did about 4 or 5 and put their hand up and says, never talk to strangers. That's good. They said that. I didn't even miss them. Now, their mom and dad's been telling them something. And you do be careful around strangers, and you don't go places, and you watch where you're going. And if you're in a grocery store, you stay with your mama. Makes me sick we live in this kind of world. They better be glad I ain't the judge and the jury. I'll tell you, the first person that molested a child in this state, I'll tell you what, we'd hang them from rope from a high deal and dismiss school and everybody'd come and watch it. This is what happens to you if you mess with a child in our state. That's what I'd do. But I'm telling you something. I want you to listen to verse. Proverbs 7:22. He, the foolish young man in the story, there goeth after her, the strange, worldly, wicked woman, straightway as an ox to the slaughter. When I was a boy, we had a big old Holstein steer and Dad was fattening him up for butcher. My job was to go feed him every morning. I didn't know what was going on. I just went and fed him, you know. Boy, I'd pet scratch him between the horns and between the ears, and he was just a big old thing. And one morning, Dad said, a guy showed up. He had a .22 single-shot rifle and a whole belt full of knives. Dad said, Reggie, go get that steer and lead him around back there at the back under them beams in the barn. Okay. I got my feed bucket, put the grain in it, opened the door up. Watch this. He followed me right out of that stall, followed me right down through around the pen of the holding pen there, right up through there underneath that deal where Dad told me to, and there's the beams up there. Well, when I got there, that old boy with the .22 pistol and a bunch of knives, he had a pulley deal set up there. He said, just set the bucket down right there, Reg. I set it down and I walked over. I'm this little kid and I'm going, what's that man with the big rifle and knives going to do? And that steer stuck his head in that bucket. He took that .22 rifle. Boop! And I read Proverbs 7. And it said that a boy who gets mixed up with strange women is like an ox going to the slaughter. I saw it with my own eyes. Then he hooked his knife in the heel of that steer, hooked his hooks in it, began to pull a rope in it. First thing you know, he had him hanging by the heels from up there, took a knife, cut his guts open. And let me tell you about the devil's corn. You'll get so addicted to it, you'll walk right to your own death. Boom. He said he goes at, watch this. He said he goes as the ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Verse 23 says this, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare. And this is the part of the verse I want you to get. Everybody listen. And knoweth not, it is for his life. He walks right into the devil's trap. Doesn't have a clue. It's for his life. Satan is not playing some game. It is for your life. One of the most alert animals in the world, woods, as I said, is a turkey. They're very aware. They're very aware of danger. They're not stupid. They're constantly on watch. It'd do you good to go study turkeys for a while. It might keep you out of some trouble. They're very cautious. They're very sensitive about something that's not right. They don't believe every call. They know their terrain. They watch out for something out of the normal. And I like about turkeys, they roost high at night. They keep themselves somewhere where it's safe. Bible examples, Eve, Genesis chapter 3, she sent the whole race to hell because she was not alert to some guy using scripture wrong. If you think this is not a serious issue about the Bible, that's what the whole world got sent into sin about, was messing with the Bible and quoting the Bible wrong, challenging the Word of God. There's a young man named Samson. He's a Nazarene raised in a godly home. In his day and time, probably you could say homeschooled, Christian education, the whole nine yards. But he looked over there and he saw that gal, just like that guy in Proverbs chapter 7. He was the strongest man, had supernatural strength of God. God was using him. He's a judge of Israel. Now, if you want to read dumb, if you want to read here's what happened to Samson. He got dulled. His senses got desensitized by his continual overriding of the alertness that God put in his soul. It got so bad that he's laying his head in the lap of Delilah. Oh, baby doll. And she's nothing but a devil's predator advocate. And she keeps saying to him, wherein lies your strength? Oh, baby doll. That is a picture of what most people are doing in this world. They're literally lying in the lap of the one that's going to kill him. When you go out, disobey the Bible, going to live your old life, you're literally just, oh, baby doll devil. This is so much fun. And pretty soon she said, watch this. Your heart's not with me, Samson. You're not telling me your whole heart. Don't tell anybody but God your whole heart, would you not? Don't be telling me your heart. Don't be telling everybody else your heart. Tell God your heart. But finally, he broke through. And he says, I'm a Nazarite. He said, the strength's in my hair. If you'll cut my hair, I'll be like any other man. And while he's sleeping, watch this, while he's sleeping on her lap, she cut his locks off. And he woke up. He thought, I'll rise as other times. But it was over. And they took him. And they put his eyes out. And they took him and hooked him up like a horse to a plow, to a grinding mill. And let me tell you what happens to your life when Satan's done with you. He's got you blinded. You can't see nothing. You're just spiritually blind. And life becomes a grind. And you're grinding corn for the devil. And America's full of people like this. They're blind as a bat spiritually. Oh, they go to church on Sunday. They go to the little church service. They sing Amazing Grace. And they go home. They go right back out to their slop. And they wonder what happened. I'm telling you, I told you a while ago. I'm going to do it. God will help me. I'm going to do it. Over the years, in my 40-some years of adulthood, of the number of young people in Wright County whose lives have been ruined by Satan and sin and predators. And they had mom and dads that took them to church. Grandpas that were preachers and deacons. And they lost them. And I could get off on a deal and tell you why they lost them, because I know why they lost them. But Samson, what was the cost? There's David. Oh, David, he's time of battle, so he stays home. He just got through having one of the other king's crowns puts on his head. He's sleeping in the afternoon, walks out on his deck, and there's this gal whose husband's off to war. She's over there bathing on top of the rooftop. And I'm going to tell you something. He lost his alertness. But I'm going to tell you this. If you could have been a little person and come up to David and said, David, before you send after her, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a daughter that's raped by one of your sons. David, you're going to have another son who another brother is going to kill and slaughter like a pig. David, you're going to have another son who's going to get hung in a tree by his hair, and they're going to send darts through him, and he's going to run you off the throne before you do that, David. And David, let me tell you one last thing. You're going to have a baby, and that baby's going to die. And David, life's never going to be the same for you after this. So before, David, you look again and you sin for her. But David threw aside the alerts and he didn't watch. Amasa, what a picture in the Bible God gives of this Amasa. He was a general, very powerful man. The kingdom was having trouble with Absalom's situation. And God, David, to bring the kingdom back together, David had told Amasa, he said, you'll be my general. Problem was, he already had a general named Joab. Joab got word that Amasa had been down to visit David. Watch this. You watching? Old Joab gets down there, and Amasa's getting ready to leave. Caleb, would you get up just a second, please? Is it all right, Sister Kelly? I'll be Joab here, and he's going to be Amasa. And the Bible said that Joab walks up to Amasa, kind of takes him like this here, and like he's going to whisper, and he sticks a sword right up through his fifth rib. God wants you to know something, that there are people very close to you who do not have right motives. They will gut you financially. They will gut you anyway, and they'll smile and make you think that they're your Christian friend while they're doing it to you. They will make you waste half your life chasing a rainbow that they know is never going to be there. They'll take their deal and shove it right up his fifth rib, right into his heart. And the Bible said he hit the ground wallowing. You know what? Later men come by and I'm telling you, listen, you're talking about a filthy sight. They had to cover him up with sheets because it was scaring people. Go ahead and sit down there. Then there's another guy by the name of Abner, and he also was a military man, and he also was challenging Joab. And Joab did the very same thing, except on Abner. He said, Abner, come here. He said, can I visit with you alone? Watch this. There are people who say they want to visit with you alone who are getting ready to rip your guts out. They're going to destroy your faith and your walk with God. You listen to this preacher today. Be careful about people who want to talk to you alone. Amen. Who's got inside knowledge and they want to talk to you about some things. And he pulled him over there. I need to talk to you by yourself. And then the Bible said he kissed him. And when he kissed him, the Bible said, Abner wist not the sword that was in Joab's hand. And he put him out. I started this message by telling you life, you're living in a very wicked, sinful, cruel world. You don't know how cruel this world is? If this place caught on fire right now, who would be only interested in getting yourself out and not worried about who else got out? How many women would get trampled on? How many young people would get trampled on? Jacob. Now I'm going to tell you something. I grieve over my stupidity and unalertness in my life, but Jacob had sons that he was not alert to what was going on in their life. He had a daughter. He was not alert to what was going on in her life. Tamar was not alert. Let me tell you something, girls. Any boy that tells you he wants the door bolted and he's trying to get you alone. Poke his eyes with your two fingers, kick him in the groin and get out of there. But she wasn't alert. She didn't pay attention to the warnings. Solomon. Anybody in the world, the Bible said his wives turned his heart away from God. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking, walketh about going, seeking whom he may devour. You say, Reggie, what are you going to be? And I'm going to close out here a little bit. We'll get it. What should I be alert to? Number one, and I meditated and I prayed and I said, God, show me what I need to be alert to. You know what God first told me? Your stinking flesh, Reggie. That's what you need to be alert to. Your vile, wicked, sinful, fallen, sin-loving flesh. You need to be alert to the danger of your own flesh. Predators wear camouflage. False teachers, false prophets. Did you know that if people were watching and praying, they wouldn't even be a Jehovah's Witness in the world. There wouldn't be Islam. But because people do not pay attention and watch the false predators, the false teachers, the false philosophies. Ungodly associations and friendships. Let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't say Amnon had a friend for nothing. Amnon had a friend. And I tell you what, Amnon laughed when his friend was killed because of what he did to him. Be careful about your friends. I'm going to be honest with you. If your friends are pulling you away from the Lord, pulling you away from holiness, pulling you away from righteousness, they're not encouraging you at least a little bit, I just wouldn't mess with them. I'm honest with you. You know, I didn't say treat them terribly. Quit hanging around them. If they're not helping you in your walk with God, they're hurting your walk with God. As parents, we need to be alert to attitudes in our children. You that have young children, stuff, I'd be alert to your children. Please be alert to your children. Watch their countenance. Watch their countenance. Your children's countenance will tell you much about what's going on. Watch who their friends are, as I said. Parents need to be alert to what their children are watching. Do you know what your children are watching? Do you know what they're listening to? Amen. Do you know who's teaching them and who's teaching them? What do they really believe? Be alert to the warnings of Scripture. Be alert to the truth. Be alert. This is a big one. Be alert to the promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. The person that will stay out of trouble, watch me, is the person that will listen when the Holy Spirit warns them, prompts them, cautions them. Be alert to what's hidden at the end of sin. Be alert to your own failure, your own weakness. If there's areas of life that you're weak and you know it, be alert to that, aware of that. Be alert to ungodly, unbiblical, unholy ways and views of life. Be alert to lies and gossip and defilement. And see the spiritual world through the eyes of Scripture. There's no other way. Amen. You cannot be alert and act upon what you're alert to without being in the Bible, without walking with God, meditation, prayer. Stay close to God. You have to avoid this predator. Squirrels not only have to watch out for dogs and cats and coyotes and bobcats. Can you imagine being a squirrel and then have to watch out for the road? But just when you think you got it made, down from the air comes a hawk. Or down from the air comes an owl. You have danger all around you, and it's not a game. Be alert on gradually drifting away from God. You can just kind of, just very slowly, you're drifting away from God. Not so much at one time that you notice it, but it just gradually happens. You need to wake up. I'm not where I used to be with the Lord. The coney hides in the rocks. Be alert to vexing, which is a gradual wearing down. Now I'm going to say it one more time. Be alert to the massive immorality, pornography, the junk that is tearing people and ruining people's lives in this land. Be aware of the drugs, the liquor, the covetousness, the chase for temporal values, the false religions. It is for your life and it's not a game. My dad told me repeatedly over the years how he could not understand or comprehend why people had no more concern about their spiritual condition. He thought the idea of self-preservation would be enough to make any man think about his soul. And what shocked him was people had seemed to have no concern to realize they were headed to hell. Being drunk or drugged by temporal values and immorality and the love of the world, it'll decrease your alertness to the danger around you. As we close today, let me say this to you. If you're here today or you're listening, you're lost without Jesus Christ. I say with an earnest heart, you're in grave danger. You are one heartbeat away from an eternal hell. And today's the day of salvation. You say, Reggie, what should I do about it? You need to understand that you're a sinner separated from God by your sin, that God is a holy God, and He'll in no wise clear the guilty. But you also need to understand that if you come to God through Jesus Christ, that's the basis and the only basis that God will save you. And if you'll repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust His shed blood that was shed for your sin and receive Him, God will save you. And you'll be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to escape hell. Apart from that, you will die and go to hell. I'm asking everybody in this building today, have you truly, honestly been born again in the Spirit of God, or are you just religious? Then I'm going to speak to you that are false converts. You said a little prayer. You did a little deal. But there's no real change. There's no real love for God in your heart. I am telling you, you're in grave danger. You need to wake up. I want to speak to the hypocrites. You claim to be something here on Sunday morning, but you're entirely another thing on tomorrow morning. You're in grave danger. You need to wake up. You're saved, but you're backslidden. You need to wake up. You're playing with sin. You're disobedient to clear commands of Scripture. You're neglecting spiritual duty and promptings. And I want us to stand as we pray today. I would to God this morning that I could put into your mind's eye a picture of a lion chasing a deer who has not been alert. That lion closing in on that deer, and that lion making that last lunging leap with its claws and teeth taking down that deer. I am telling you something. Satan will tear your life to shreds. But Jesus wants to give you life and life more abundantly. I want to give you a great, great scripture. David is a picture of Jesus Christ in many areas. And the Bible says that he took a lamb out of the mouth of the lion. Did you know that's what I am? I'm a far greater sinner than any of you people ever dream about. I sowed enough sin to send me to hell 50 times. As I look back at my life, I see myself as Satan had me literally in his jaws. And my Lord Jesus Christ came. And in mercy and in power and in grace delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. And he has given me life. And he has given me life more abundantly. And Jesus kept me from my life from being stolen, killed, and destroyed. My life is so full, so abundant because of Jesus Christ. That's my testimony to you today. If you're here today and you're not saved, you're listening, you're not saved, would you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen to the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You can call upon him today and be saved. If you're in this auditorium, I'm asking you right now, step out from your seat, come find you a place to pray up here at this old bench and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And ask Jesus Christ to save you through his blood and his work on the cross. I'm telling you right now, don't be waiting for a song and a dance. If you're without Christ, you're a heartbeat away from hell. You're in danger. If you're a parent here today, you're raising children. If I was you, I'd hit this altar and say, God, make me alert to what's going on in my home and my family. And God, help me to act upon it. I am so grateful that I had a mother who saw my countenance, worthless and sorry as it could be, and looked me in the eye one day and said, Reggie, there's something wrong with you down inside. There's something wrong with you down inside. We need some mom and daddies who will love their children enough to look them in the eye and say, there's something wrong with you down inside. Mamas and daddies who are alert and who lovingly and graciously yet boldly and fervently and earnestly take action and begin to pray and seek the Lord and say, God, don't let the devil have my children. Would you come this morning and say, God, give me alertness so that I can take action. Some of you young people here today, and I'm telling you for sure, if you don't get the Holy Ghost of God in you, in power, you're not going to have the sensitivity to know when you're about to be devoured. You ought to come today and fall on these old altars and say, dear God, give me alertness, God. Give me the watchfulness that I need, Lord. Help me to be awake and realize that I live in a wicked, sinful world, dark predators, that Satan's not playing a game with my life. God, give me alertness. Would you come? The altars are open. The invitation's given. Do what you will, but I'm telling you, as your pastor, as your preacher, I'm pleading with you today. God, Paul is pleading with these Corinthian believers. Watch, watch, watch. Don't let Satan get you. Be alert. Stay on top of things. Don't go to sleep. He'll destroy you. Would you come? Would you come? Our Father in heaven, we bow before your mighty presence today in your glorious name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your keeping power. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, please today, Holy Spirit, move hearts. I'm not interested, Lord, in affecting these minds. I want you to affect their hearts. I want you to probe their spirit. I want you to do something that will be with them when they leave this building, something that will be with them tomorrow morning when they wake up. And they'll realize that every day is a battle for their children, a battle for their marriage, a battle for their home, a battle for their faith. And I pray, God, make us a people who are enjoying the life of God, but we're alert. We're not asleep. We're not stupid. We're not slumping around. Help us to see, to hear, to sense, and to know the dangers that are about us. God, our phones are dangerous. God, our TVs are dangerous. Sometimes, God, our acquaintances are dangerous. Lord, help us to walk in the light, to walk close to the shepherd. God, I pray today there'll be folks in this building who'll nudge up close to God today and say, Lord, I'll be safe with you. Bless these homes and these families. May we be a people in these latter days who are watching, being alert to what's going on around us. Would you sing with me today as we dismiss? Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a At the cross where I first